Take the Word of God this evening and turn to 1 Samuel chapter 13. 1 Samuel in the 13th chapter. What a morning service we had this morning. The Lord gave us some visitors in the service this morning. We had one lady get saved. One of our visitors got saved this morning. Mrs. Hoffer was able to lead Miss Nita to the Lord. And we're so thankful when the Lord saves somebody. Altars are full with folks making decisions, so we're so thankful for that. And continue to pray for folks. There's a lot of people sick. There's a lot of people unable to get out at these times when it's so cold. And be willing and able to help with those kinds of things if somebody does need some help. This morning we started the preaching on David, a man after God's own heart. And studying David's life, David, of course, was not perfect. But the Bible says two different times. I want to show you the other verse tonight, but look at 1 Samuel chapter 13 and verse number 13. And the Bible says, "And Samuel said to Saul, Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord, thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee." Last week we established the fact about the heart of God. We went to the New Testament and we looked at God loving the world, that he gave his only begotten Son. We started talking about the heart of God filled with a heart of love and forgiveness and mercy and a respecter of no persons. He treats each person equally, and he loves us. God is love, the Bible says. We talked about last week that when we discover the love of God, the heart of God, the Bible says that we let the Spirit of God, the Bible says that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Spirit of God. And so we let the Spirit of God minister to us during our tough times, during bad days, during hurtful situations. When we've sinned before the Lord, the Bible says we let the love of God and the heart of God, let that love be shown abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And then we also said that we need to let the commandments of God mold us. In the heart of God, the Bible says, God says to us, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And so we see many different times throughout the Scriptures, people who disobeyed God's commandment, he had to, in love, chasten them. And we see in the story of Saul three different times in just two verses, God draws to the fact from Samuel talking to Saul and preaching to Saul that God is taking your kingdom away, not because you're not popular anymore, not because you made this mistake or that mistake, not because you're not perfect, not because you're a bad king, not because you're a horrible warrior. God said, "I'm taking your kingdom away because you will not obey me. You will not listen to my commandments." And if we're going to be people after God's heart and trying to live for God and trying to be what God wants us to be and accomplish the purpose in our life that God has for us, we are going to have to be people that let the commandments of God mold us and really learn what God wants us to do with our lives. Look at Acts chapter 13 this evening. If you'll flip over quickly to Acts chapter 13. I want to show you one other verse. Just hold your spot there in 1 Samuel. And I want you to look at Acts chapter 13. In verse number 21, it says, this is Paul giving a testimony. And he says, "And afterward they desired a king." This is talking about Israel. "And God gave unto them Saul, the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin by the space of 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will." If you're going to be a person that fulfills the will of God, then you must first of all know the heart of God. And in the very heart of God, he loves you. In the very heart of God, it is filled with love and forgiveness and mercy and grace. But in the heart of God is a desire for His people to listen to what He says. We said this morning that if a person is going to be a man after God's own heart, number one, it has to be a person whose life is built and centered around God. You can't possibly have a successful godly marriage unless your marriage is built around God. You can't possibly raise your kids right and hope to see them pass on to another generation the things of God and the Word of God and be faithful to the next generation to show them all the things that God has done in this world and for us and pass those things on. You can't possibly expect that unless you build your home around God, the things of God, around church, around activities of God's people. Our theme here at Bible Baptist Church is loving God, growing together and serving others. Our first and most important thing we must always do is love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. And so we desire as God's people, we should desire as God's people to build our lives around God. I believe that that is at the very heart of a person who is after God's own heart. I want to say secondly tonight that I believe that a person after God's own heart is a person who builds their life around the Word of God. Who builds their life around the Word of God. Where is it that we learn about God? You hear a lot of folks today make up different things about God. You hear sometimes people say, well, doesn't the Bible say it this way? And you kind of have to kindly look at them and say, no, that's not in the Bible. And they'll say, well, doesn't your Bible say something about, you know, picking yourself up by your own bootstraps? No, the Bible doesn't say anything about bootstraps. It does say that God picked me up out of a miry clay and set my feet upon a rock and had put a new song in my mouth. Many shall see it and fear and trust in the Lord. When I was down, when I was a sinner, when I was ashamed of who I am, when I've been to the place where I had absolutely no hope for eternity, He picked me up. When I'm having a bad day, He picks me up. I don't have to pick myself up. God is my encourager. He sent the Holy Spirit on earth to be my comforter, to be the healer, to be the person who teaches me all things about Him. But let me ask you just a very simple question. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. A people of faith, a people that are going to be living their lives centered around God and moving forward by faith. Faith is a substance of things hoped for. You look at Hebrews chapter 11, and it is an amazing chapter of all that the people of God's Word that were known and had the testimony of great faith, that accomplished things that were supernatural at times, accomplished things that they couldn't have possibly accomplished on their own except by God's help and their faith in the God that was leading them. And so when we see that we're talking about building our lives around God, when we're talking about building our lives around the things of God and around church and around those activities and having our family centered on God and doing family devotions together and doing spiritual things and doing... And I'm not talking about sitting around your house for 7 hours reading the Bible. I don't believe that that's what God intends for us to do. But I do believe that He causes us to read His Word, to meditate upon His Word, to take a portion of Scripture, and morning and evening we think on that Scripture, we mull that Scripture over. It becomes a part of us, it becomes a part of our spiritual DNA. But how do you know what God wants you to do? I love when people try to make up the will of God. I think it's just amazing how the Bible says that we should redeem the time, and it challenges us to understand what the will of the Lord is. Well, you're never going to find out the will of the Lord until you find out more about the Lord. You don't need to make up in your life what God wants you to do. You don't have to make up in your life and try to figure out somewhere along, well, I'll throw a dart at the board and hopefully, you know, if I follow that advice, or there's people looking for signs and wonders, there's people looking at the stars, there's people looking at the newspaper, and they say, well, if so-and-so gets elected, you know, then I know I'm supposed to do this, and if the gas price is this, then I know I'm, and we're all a bunch of superstitious Christians. The Bible shows us a very clear love letter from God. In all of my Bibles that God has allowed me to have, you'll see in Genesis 1, it says, "Dear Matt." And at the end, it says, "Love God." I've taught my children, I think Autumn might have done that also in one of her Bibles. I've taught my children that this is a letter to me. This is God's love letter. God is love. And in His awesome love, He sent, before the world was ever created, He foreordained not only His Son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for my sins, but the Bible says this book was written in heaven, and He transferred it from the portals of heaven to here on earth to people that wrote it down exactly what He wanted written down, so that one day when I was born in December the 10th, 1978, and was growing up in a broken home and had no idea what God wanted me to do with my life and was a rebellious teenager, that He could get me to the Scripture and get me into a preaching service and get me into a chapel service and get me to a Bible camp, and that I got to sit under the preaching of God's Word so that I figured out what the will of the Lord was for my life. See, I think that our lives ought to be centered around God, but I believe it's going to be centered around God, we're going to have to get serious about His Word. This is where we find the heart of God. We don't find the heart of God in Christian movies. And I want to say a little bit about this Christian movie movement that's out there. I'm for Christian movies. I think it's wonderful that there's a lot of companies that are taking this challenge on. I think it's kind of come out of the mega church movement where folks have a burden to get some Christian entertainment out there. And I want to be very clear that I'm for a good Christian movie. But may I also say that that Christian movie needs to be compared to the Word of God? That the Christian movie isn't truth. I was watching a movie the other day on Noah or Jonah, I don't remember what we were, Exodus. We were watching a movie on the Exodus, and Autumn's like, "Gotta watch this, Dad. I saw the previews. It's epic." She used the word epic. And anytime she used the word epic, I think, oh, whoa, like, we gotta watch this. Like, this is the real deal. And so we sat down, and we found no less than about 40 different heirs in the timeline and who was with who and who married who. Now, listen, we watched it, and we were discerning. We were sitting there, and I pointed. She goes, "Is that true?" I said, "No, that's not true." And then she said one time, she said, "That's not true. He didn't do that." And they mixed up this, and then they had God as a child talking to Moses up in a mountain, and he was a little child. And listen, it was entertainment, and it's better than half the junk that's out there, and I don't mind those things, but that's not the truth. This is the truth. And I know people and again, let me back up and say, I hope that you get them. I hope that some of these things are just entertaining. There's so much fun to watch and to see God in some of those things and true stories and fictional stories. And I think it's all fine and good. But that's not doctrine. It's not where we get our belief system. It's not what we use for our Sunday school classes. It's not what we're going to use as a PowerPoint presentation to teach the Bible. They're good and they have their place, but we have to center our lives around the Bible. And we have to be careful of these things, because there's good intentions out there, and there's people who love the Lord that I'm sure are sincere and want these things out there to entertain our families, and so we have a different choice than some of the junk that is out there. But be careful. And if you're not sure, you get your Bible and you put it on your lap while you're watching it. You know, some of the verses they quote, they're just not right. And some of the things they say, they'll twist the words of Scripture, and we've got to be careful of those things. I'm not trying to get on a rabbit trail or meddle in your business, or I don't know what movies you watch. I'm just warning us tonight that there's so much out there that people are substituting for the Word of God. Did you read so-and-so's book? I mean, it is phenomenal. And some people are in love with so-and-so's book more than they love God's Word. And they'll do devotions through so-and-so's devotional book, and it'll have one little tiny verse or a phrase from a verse, and then entertaining stories. And those things have their place. And when you're in a rush, and sometimes maybe over a lunch hour when you have a few moments, maybe some of those things are good, but that's not the meat of the Word to help you grow. That's not where you're going to learn the heart of God. Those aren't the things that's going to give you what God wants you to do with your life. Listen, if you're wrapping your entire life up in a phrase from one verse a day, You need to back up and realize that your life is more important to God than one phrase out of one verse and somebody's entertaining story. And those things are neat, and for 5- and 6-year-olds and 7-year-olds just starting to read, some of those things are appropriate and wonderful, and it gives them a little piece of Scripture into their heart that they can think about. But we as God's people that are living life on a daily basis and have bills coming at us and work problems coming at us and marital issues and parenting issues, we don't need somebody's commentary on somebody's commentary of somebody's commentary of a story we heard one time. We need the Word of God. And we've got to center our lives not only on God and around God, but we need to center our lives around the Word of God. May I challenge you to be a student of the Scriptures. I love what it says about the Athenians in the Bible. They daily searched the Scripture, the Bereans. Daily searched the Scriptures. And may that be a challenge to us, that if we're going to be what God wants us to be and do what God wants us to do, we must be people. Listen, don't be afraid of God's Word. Somebody said the other day, I don't know what the will of the Lord is, and I'm afraid if I pray that God will want me to do this. Don't be afraid of the will of God. Get in prayer and get in the Bible. Don't be afraid of where God sends you and what God... It's the greatest thing you could ever do with your life is to be right in the center of the will of God, doing what He wants you to do. And I believe you're going to find that by centering your life around God and centering your life around the things of God and centering your life around the Word of God. Number three tonight, I want to say this. I believe a person after the heart of God is a person that centers their life around the people of God. Centers their life around the people of God. I am 100% for you reaching others that are unsaved. 100%. If you have a neighbor that doesn't know the Lord, I hope that you're able to bring them to church and for them to hear a gospel message. I hope you're able to deliver to them a tract or a gospel message. But can I challenge your thinking tonight that God desires for you and I to be around the people of God? Sometimes we isolate ourselves so much away from the things of God and the people of God that all we ever interact with and all the people that we ever see and interact with are people that don't know God and really don't love God. The Bible says iron sharpeneth iron. The Bible says a lot of things about friends. I think that when God looks at the heart of us, He ought to see us being strengthened and being helped, not only by His Word, but by other Christian people. The man who came to Christ and tried to tempt Him and tried to trap Him with a question in Matthew chapter 22, the Bible shows us that God quoted to him Scripture. When Christ was being tempted by Satan in the wilderness over a 40-day period, the Bible says that Christ quoted him Scripture. And the Bible says He stood strong around Scripture. But that wasn't all of Christ's life. He wasn't up in a mountain for the rest of His life, for 3.5 years, up in a mountain quoting Scripture. He knew Scripture. He was Scripture. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we're thankful for that. He knew the Scripture. He was the Scripture. He quoted Scripture. But what else was the thing that strengthened the Lord and that He taught the people around Him? He taught them to get around other godly people. Even Jesus Christ Himself surrounded Himself with 12 men every single day for 3.5 years. I don't think it was just to encourage them. Because the Bible says He got weary just like anybody else. And He got thirsty just like anybody else. And He was a man tempted at all points like as we are, yet without sin. He was tempted like as we are. And He was a man who got tired. And He was a man who needed food and sustenance and drink. He was a man, I'm sure, that those 12 men received great encouragement from the very Son of God. But I would imagine as He saw them serving the Lord and they served the Lord together, that there was great encouragement that He found in being around them. If we will be people who will get around not only centering our life around God and centering our life around the Word of God, I believe that we've got to work on this area of building our lives around the people of God. I believe, I understand that it'll be discernment that's needed in this area. But can I challenge you, when we, And this isn't me in a sour mood. I promise you that there's no ill will in me stating what I'm about to state. But there's probably about 60 couples in our church that would say they're married and they have a family. And we had a couples retreat this past weekend. And again, I have no ill will in my heart because, listen, I can say it this way. I know the help that I got. I'm your pastor, and God encouraged my heart. I believe I have a great marriage, and I have a wonderful wife. But God did something in my heart this past week. And you know, out of 60 to 65 couples in our church, we had 11 couples at the couples retreat. And that all that is to say, we got to step back and do a checkup. Like, what are we spending our money on and our time doing, and who are we spending it around? If all you're ever doing is going to work and spending time around the people at work, and then you come home and you're just with your family, and you're going to work and you're just there, and you come to church and you leave after the final amen right away, and you don't show up at any church activities. By the way, it's always in the bulletins and it's on the church calendar for the year, and I'm amazed how many people text me and ask me if we have an activity or what's going on or those kinds of things. But that's just my soapbox that I get on about bulletins, and we spend hundreds of dollars a year to give you information. And then you text me and ask me what time or if we're having this or that. So moving right along. That's meddling. I'll stop meddling there. But, and listen, I realize in this day and this economy and these work schedules and all the things that happen, I realize there's some people that couldn't possibly have been there. God would have had to move heaven and earth for them to be there. But I realize this also. Some of us chose not to be there. Some of us made a conscious choice that, I'm doing pretty good, or my wife doesn't need that, or my husband's fine, and we're good, and we got kids, and we're busy, and we got busy schedules, and you know, I've been to those things before, and I've been to that stuff, and I can just say to you that God really did something in my heart this past weekend, and all that I'm saying is, there's March Madness coming up, and there's primetime activities coming up, and there's youth activities. And I can confidently say this, I never see some of you at some of these activities. You don't get your kids to the teen activities. You don't get your kids, make it a possible for them to get out to these young adult things. And you don't make it a priority to get to activities yourself or to be involved in these big outreach activities or the times where we get to around God's people and just fellowship for a little while. And you'll make a choice this Wednesday if you're not careful about Victory Bible Study. And, oh, it's neat, you know, ladies with the ladies and the guys with the guys and some cookies and stuff afterwards. What is that? That is a time for God's people to get around other people and to grow together. How do we get one mind? How do we get to live in one accord? How do we strive together for the faith? How do you do that? Just by showing up for a service and being here for an hour? I don't believe that that's God's intention for today's church. I don't think it's like two ships passing in the night. I don't think that that's profitable for us. And I just want to encourage you with that tonight, that I believe that we should build our lives around God. I believe we ought to build our lives around the Word of God. But I also think our lives ought to center around the things of God and the people of God to encourage our hearts in this day and age in which we live. I love the fact that when David was coming to the point where he was about to be the king, that people kept approaching him and saying, David, we'll kill Saul for you. There's an opportunity here. We'll kill him for you. And David would say, no, don't touch God's anointed. But wait a second, David. Saul is mean. Saul threw a javelin at your head. Wait, David. He threw a javelin at your head twice. He tried to talk your son and tried to talk his son into killing you, bringing you to him so he can murder you. He's right there in the cave, David. What are you talking about? I mean, this guy hates your guts. He's jealous of you. He's so insecure. He's so prideful. He would have you, your head on a platter if he could. Don't you touch God's anointed. I wonder how many of us tonight have ill will against one of God's anointed. You say, who's God's anointed? Well, back in the Old Testament, it was kings and priests and prophets and those kind of people. The Bible says now, we are God's anointed. You are God's anointed. Every person here that is a child of God is a king and a priest before God. You are anointed before God. And the thing is sometimes because somebody doesn't have means or somebody can't do something or somebody can't favor us or somebody can't help us, we just lash out and we talk about them behind their back and we pull them down and we hurt them and we have no second thought about hurting them. This is my friend. That's what I'm talking about building your life. These people in this room are family. It's the family of God sitting right here tonight. And when you don't take part in things, and when you don't come to things, and when you're not at services, and when you're not faithful to God's house, and when you're not faithful to activities, and you're not faithful to outreach opportunities, you're missing out being with God's anointed and being with the people of God. Growing closer together, stronger together, so that we, as the people of God, as the family of God, can bring others into His family. I've seen so many churches that have used and abused people. I've seen churches where Christians fail to understand the concept of kindness and love and mercy and grace. They sit in the pews, say things like, did you know about so-and-so and what they did? That's sin. And that's not helping the family of God. That's not helping the cause for Christ. And we're all amen for loving God. Man, we need to love God, but we also need to grow together. We need to work together. We need to sing together. We need to serve together. We need to do bus routes together. We need to minister together. We need to teach together. Listen, my friend, we need to be for each other. Enough of the world is against God's people and against the church and against what we're doing. And it's not popular in this day. It ought to be popular. It ought to be accepted with the people in this very room. We ought not to have to be afraid about somebody across the room saying something about so-and-so. Saying something about our family. Saying something about our kids. Our lives ought to be centered around God. Loving God. Our life ought to be centered around the Word of God. Our life ought to be centered around the people of God. And I believe if you'll study the life of David like I have, you'll realize that David was a man at a very young age that built his life around God. You read the beginning of Psalms and that's a young man speaking. It's amazing. Unbelievable. From the very loving and kind and tender heart of a young man who built his life around God. David said, was the man who wrote, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." David realized the importance of building his life around the Word of God. And David teaches us the great example that at the moments he withdrew from the people of God, he made bad mistakes. As long as he kept his life ministering to and being ministered to, his life was a success in God's eyes. What a great testimony to have. Wouldn't you love to have that testimony someday? If God continued on the canon of Scripture someday, which He won't, but if He did, wouldn't it be great to have this testimony? I found Dwayne. He was a man after my own heart. I found Ryan Zitterbart. And I can tell you this about Ryan. I had to dismiss so-and-so and I had to get rid of so-and-so and I couldn't use so-and-so. They're rebellious. But I found Ryan. He let the Holy Spirit of God minister to him. And he let the commandments of God mold his life. And he took on my heart. He was a man after my own heart. He loved, He forgave, He was kind, He was gracious, He was merciful. He was a man after my heart. I found Bill Kunkel. I searched for a man after my own heart, and after looking, and having to not use this person. And unfortunately, I had to pass over this person. They're kind of wandering in the wilderness. But I found Bill Kunkel, and I found a man after my own heart. I found Courtney Hickson. Oh, man. She was a mess. She was an absolute disaster when I got her, man. What age did you get saved, Courtney? What age did you get saved? 6? Man, she was 4. She was a disaster. At the age of 6, she started on a journey. And this family member and that relative and that church member, I couldn't use them. But I found Courtney Hickson. She was a woman after my own heart. Wouldn't you love that to be said about you? I mean, if you look in David's life, say, God, wait a second. Can I read you a couple chapters of Scripture? I know you know the Word, Lord, but if I could just show you some Scripture. David messed up bad. But when David realized what he had done, and the light was turned on his sin, he was a great example to all of us. And ask God to forgive. Because at the very heart of God is not a perfect person. It is a humble person. A person of love. A person who cares. A person who desires to make a difference for God. Would you stand together with me for a word of prayer tonight, please?